I worked the crew shared with me, Michael Wood, and I'm joined once again by my good pal, Aaron Dugan. Aaron, how are you getting on?
Aye, not bad, not bad. Pouring down the solent now. Hopefully it brightens up. I've got the football later on, so hopefully it's dry for them.
What game are you going to this evening? I know you've been
I've got
traveling.
a Gosport versus Portsmouth. It's the annual friendly against them. That's the last time that I saw Gosport play was during my apprenticeship. When I think they won one game in 26 or something. That I think they shipped about 126 goals in the league that year as well. So that was around the same time that we had Billy Brown as manager at Cambridge. So it kind of felt, well, I guess it could be worse. It could be Gosport like so.
Where else have you been on your travels, just quickly, so since you're down south at the moment?
Last Saturday I got down to see Havant versus Havant and Waterlooville. So I play Money Fields. And then Tuesday just gone there, I was seeing Fareham play Eastleigh. No, so Eastleigh being in the National League. No, so it's quite a big jump. Fareham's in the Wessex Premier League. So come up a bit. Trump's there, Eastleigh, like it was like men against boys. The eighth goal was absolutely tremendous. So boy picked it up, trialist as well. So I expect him to get a contract if he's able to do this. That says played it through the defence and then rounded the keeper. Well, by that point, Fareham were just going through the motions, like, but still, you don't watch somebody just dance through you, do you?
And like, what's the standard been like of these games that you've seen? Has there been quite a discrepancy between the sides, or has there been quite a good quality of competition there?
All the teams play kind of at different levels. Obviously, Fareham, Eastleigh were the biggest kind of gap. It came with Fareham being in the what kind of constitutes the Cornish league that Falmouth's in. So then you've got obviously Eastleigh being in the National League. So again, but it's and they finished ninth in that as well. So it's not unforeseeable that they could be a kind of League Two team at some point in England like that. So he's just kind of skirting on those playoff positions now. Again, obviously Moneyfields and Haven kind of played out a close first half, and then Haven brought on kind of their kind of big boys, their kind of first teamers, and then just walked over them from there then on in. So. I mean, also quite big gaps now. I can't imagine Gosport laying a glove on Portsmouth tonight, but we'll see what happens.
Well, you've been ground hopping, so have Cambeef. They've gone around the friendly circuit, Rosyth, Dennismuir, East Fife, and the Swifts. What have you made of their pre-season so far, Aaron?
It's come with a bit of a. Kind of added on bonus that we've got the League Cup now as well. So the planned friendlies that we had, and I think a lot of us were excited by the friendlies that had been announced. Also, a couple of them have been cancelled. I think Clydebank and Musselburgh, I think it
Yeah,
was,
I think I remember.
both cancelled. So kind of there is the kind of well, it's been good to play against those teams, but you can't turn your back on being offered a. The League Cup, can you? That's just where the money that's involved. But I think it's more of a case, especially seeing as though it's not a brand new team, that it is on the face of it a lot of new players there. So I think it was just about getting the legs in the boys again, getting them playing with one another and trying to create a bit of unity, a bit of chemistry before going in against the. On Saturday. So I think overall with the way it's went, it says you can't really complain. That's just with it being compressed.
I think you had a good watch of the East Fife game in its entirety. What did you make of facing League Two opposition, a team that's probably going to be challenging towards the top end of that division as well?
I think well the East Fife commentators had said can Beast come out to and playing this like it's a derby, and I don't think that was the case. I think that East Fife come out with a bit of lethargy themselves were that's not a word, is it? Lethargy.
No, it's a word. It's a
Is
word.
it? Oh, there you
Well,
are.
carry on, I'll
That's
get up
it.
the
Like,
dictionary
again,
definition.
that's that with my thesaurus in front of me there. Like, he's good.
A lack of energy and enthusiasm.
Yeah,
There we go.
again, a bit of a. Can they also come out? We came, and I think they're expecting us just to be going through the motions as well. Obviously, they wanted to take the game to them. And for, I'd say, about 60 to 65 minutes of that game, we were in control. The only difference that happened is when at half time when they brought on Nathan Austin, who should be playing at a much higher level than what he is. Obviously, Kenny's got a kind of, I think he works in banking, I think. I'm sure somebody told me. So
Yeah,
obviously
he's
getting a
quite
good
decent as well, isn't he? So,
so obviously getting a good well full time wage in Civvy Street, if you will, and then obviously just topping up with part time football. So. And obviously, from that neck of the woods as well, East Fife was his first team as well, so kind of a bit of a homecoming for him. But you're not expecting kind of lowland league players to be able to handle him in the way that he runs, the way that he moves. He's a strong player. He's a fast player. Kind of turned the game on the head for a bit. That's just when they equalised. I think we passed up four or five good chances to take the lead again, and then. It was a bit of a sucker punch to lose it right in the end, but as you say, it's just a friendly. It was the kind of our second friendly. Sorry, it was our third friendly game by then. That can you teams say it was I think Hepburn's first game and goals done all right for himself. For Colin Barty, who you met down at Gala Shields, he had been to the Rosyth game and says there was a few mistakes defensively, a few lapses in judgment by Cowmeath for Rosyth. Also, I wasn't there to say, but from what I've been told. So, but I think that I can count on, I think once in the first half, about 5 minutes into the game, there was a bit of a short back pass which was handled well. So I think to go up against a League Two team and can more than match them and should have come away with it, come away with a well a result then. So I think you can say that kind of was job done up in the MFO.
I suppose an interesting, well, a few interesting points about your pre-season schedule there. All away ties, so none at Central Park at the moment. I think the Musselburgh and the Clydebank games were going to be away as well, so they're obviously letting that new pitch kind of seed in, which is obviously handy. In addition to that as well, but you've scored in every tie. I think we have famously talked about numerous podcasts about kind of lack of a goal scorer or lack of scoring goals. Do you think this is going to be a sign of what's to come under Callum Elliott, that goals are going to be the priority moving forward?
I think so. That's easy. Obviously, his previous teams have done well for goal scoring, for winning games, and I can't see why we can't be any different. Obviously, it's a bit of a change playing on a good surface at Ockleview and a good surface at New Bay View, but to Central Park, and obviously when the stock cars get going with their season and well. You see them all the time, part of the pitch, don't you? On a Friday and Saturday night, so you have to hope that the pitch will hold up, and obviously, hopefully, the style of play can be the way that we know it can be under Callum Elliott so far.
Right, and you start the League Cup campaign away to Forfar and then away to Arbroath, back to back fixtures there up in Angus. What do you think about moving into this League Cup campaign? Obviously, it's a bit of a surprise to all of us that Cowmeath were invited into the competition. Are you reveling in the kind of vitriol about you's getting invites over some other lowland league teams?
But I the only way in that says I can't I don't understand the anger towards Cowmeath for it. That says obviously it's been a bit like half-arsed by the SPFL. It's been and they've kind of just plucked kind of, they're making it up as they go along. And that says I can't remember who got invited last season now. Was it Bucky? I think Bucky got
Bucket was
invited. Bucky
famously played Dunfermline, and the manager said we shouldn't be getting to beat off teams like Dunfermline 5-0, a full-time
Yeah,
opposition away from
it's
home.
just yeah. I mean, Obviously that I think they got it because they had finished second in the Highland League. So in reality, should have been well, Stirling Uni as the probably second team, or even Brechin didn't get an invite, being the champions. They would have been, wouldn't they have?
Brechin were champions, yeah. Second would have been who did they beat to the title again?
Fraserburgh. Was it Fraserburgh?
Well,
Oh, it
let's
was
see.
Bucky, wasn't it? It was Bucky.
Oh, fuck them then.
Aye, because they play. But honestly, it's all just confusing. I don't understand the anger towards Cowdenbeath. Now, it says any team worth their salt's not going to turn down the offer. It's something like 40K now for playing in the group stages. That's a massive, massive amount for a team at our level. That says it's kind of we've got overheads. We've got obviously the maintenance central part to keep up with, and that says that's a massive chunk of that with that 40 grand. And that's before gate receipts as well. Obviously, with you're not expecting big crowds at Arbroath, Montrose, or Forfar, but still, it's better than what we're going to get in any game in the lower league. Of course, we're going to jump at it. Now, I don't understand the anger to it. That says, but I think that's just a bit of short-sightedness of Scottish football fans. I like the people suggesting it's because yous have gotten into bed with the B teams. That says, but it's not SPFL are against B teams, so surely that would work against us. But I can understand why Stirling Uni weren't invited with the university. Turn not starting, but it came by then. But says that's just the way it is. We got invited. We're not going to turn it down.
No, quite right as well. But what I guess the expectations going to the League Cup campaign is it just make a fist of it more so than anything else. I mean, you've got a League Two opposition in Forfar, Championship opposition are both League One opposition Montrose and Premiership opposition St Mirren, who finished top six last season, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't think you can go in against teams in a higher league than you, or higher divisions than you. Obviously, Forfar's the closest one to us, and even then, they're a strong fourth best side in League Two. So I think it's just about being able to go out and compete. Obviously, and just see them as what we've done last season as friendlies, just trying to get more. Came saying about the team before the League Cup season. Always better to do it in a competitive fashion as well, and hope that we can bloody a few noses in the end. I don't see why we can't take a scalp off of like a Forfar. You have a look at the transfers for the three teams in the Championship, League One, and League Two respectively, and you wouldn't say that there's anybody there that we should be frightened of. Obviously, St Mirren's a completely different kettle of fish, but being in the Premiership, and I'm not saying that we're going to go out and beat Arbroath, Montrose, or Forfar, but I don't see why we can't give a good stab of
Are you famously going to hide the balls from Stephen Robinson's side like you did last season?
it. That coming out and saying the reason why we didn't play against Cowdenbeath is because they defended against us. I just hope it's a another sunny day, because I know that I mind being shown in Pine Bobber at some point. His pal got that drunk that he fell asleep in the sun, and when he woke up, they convinced him that they'd won 7-0. So hopefully something like that happens again. I was gutted that I can't get back up to Arbroath. Obviously, my good friend Ryan Ramsey's a big supporter of Arbroath, so it'd have been nice to have gotten up and they end up staying with his mum and dad again, and having a dip in their hot tub as usual on a night out to Arbroath. But
Not
such
invited,
as
of course. You
such
just took it
as
upon
they
yourself to go into the hot tub.
just showed up lying in their hot tub. But that's again such as the way, and that's as I've got bills to pay in the end.
Interestingly enough, you played Arbroath in St Mirren last season in the cup as well. Arbroath won 3-0 against you, and the St Mirren score was, what was it, just a 2-0 defeat.
2-0, 2-0, aye.
So you lost all four games last season, conceded 11 goals and scored none. And I take it this, do you feel more organised as a as a fan going to this season that the squad looks more settled, looks more set. You're not rushing about making signs just because you have to these days, because you could do that. You can't feel trialless in these competitions. Do you think with a season under your belt, you're more prepared for this kind of occasion now this time around?
I think so, and that is also the signings that we brought in last season for it were just a case of getting bodies in suits in the end, and kind of as what Ken Colin Nelson said, what Marge Ross has said at the time as well, it come across that fast. We weren't ready for it. Albion Rovers seem to be doing the same this season as well, so it's going to be a bit of a shock to them. I think it was certainly a shock to us. I think now we are a lot more organised. I think it was a good time to get Callum Elliott in with the final game of the season last season, and also the Lone League Cup, the two games that we got to play in the Lone League Cup. So he's had an idea of what had to be done with the squad. He's made his changes so far, and that's his. You never know who you're kind of still kind of also a couple of weeks until the League Cup the league campaign starts. So you'll have an idea competitively of how this team's going to fare up against stronger opposition. You'll be able to see kind of if there's any weaknesses there, and be able to take steps to rectify them. And obviously playing against teams higher in division than us, so might see kind of younger players being kind of blooded against us, and it maybe gives them a chance to have a look at somebody that could potentially coming back in on loan. Obviously, we had a couple of boys from St Mirren last season, so there's no reason why that can't happen again.
Just off the top of your head, how many people from the first day of the last campaign in the League Cup are still with the club at the moment?
I know you've asked me. I'm going to have to check
Is
that.
it? Is it?
We'll look up the team.
I think it's very few, though, eh? It's quite a wee
There's not
number.
many like that. It's just I'm trying to think.
Because yeah, just skimming through the squad here.
No, I don't actually think there's anybody left over.
Which is remarkable in a sense how quickly the squad has been churned over two or three times now. Do you think what you need then now is a stability and obviously a quality of player to take you up leagues now? And if they can be here for a couple of years, then they have the potential to sell them on like you have done with a few players over last season and this summer. Do you think that's more the direction that can be should be still be continuing on?
I think that's been the plan for a while now. That's is trying to get better. Kind of, it was always said that there's no point in getting building a wall at the start of the season and then tearing it down at the end of it and then rebuilding it. Obviously, Marsh Ross has tried that. Brought in his players. Callum Elliott's come in with a different vision, a different approach to things, and it looks like he's going to be doing the same. It's still similar kind of profiles of player, I'd say, kind of younger players that have still got the chance to make a good start of things, so can move up the leagues if need be. And that's just we've signed a kind of good plethora of experience as well. That obviously Robbie McNabb coming in, well Andy Black coming in during around January time as well. So there is certainly kind of that backbone of experience there that we missed before. Kevin Smith's coming. As assistant manager, well, player assistant manager, there is a good spine of experience in the team now. No, it's just about getting it to gel together on the pitch again, I'd say.
What do you think's missing from the team at the moment in terms of players?
I think I'd like to see another centre back. I think it's Gregor Jack that went down injured at the start of the pre-season, and as far I don't know how long he's going to be out for, but we are a bit light defensively, I'd say. That's just also we've got about every scorer known for miles. No, but again, which I think is brilliant. That's great that we've signed Ken. I think it's the one thing that any supporter or anybody connected, anybody that's seen Cowan Beef play in the last kind of 5 years could have said the issue with us has been that we can't score goals. So I think if we can bring in another centre half, preferably I'd say a mature head. I think that could really bring the team together.
Has there been any word on Ian Davidson if he's still with the club or is he coming back or has he been
Not as
released?
far as I'm aware, and I've not seen anything. I've not seen anything from the club is people that I've asked have said the same thing as well, that there's hasn't really been any word yet. So I think it's just a wait and see what happens. Obviously he was fantastic last season for us. So we'd be remiss if I've seen him return to us if he wanted to. I don't well, can obviously get another year on, but didn't look unfit for the level, didn't look out of date for the level. So no reason why you can't come back in and really solidify that defence.
And well, you've brought in two goalkeepers this summer, Craig Hepburn, who seems to be the number one choice on loan from St Johnstone for the season, and Josh Blair, who came in from what was it, lower league, Broxburn Athletic. Two teenagers, and Danny Farrell seems to be away. What do you make of that whole situation, considering he was just given a contract extension in April?
I know it came as a bit of a shock. No, I think Danny Farrell was definitely one of the bright sparks last season, and I think everybody was happy when he signed the kind of contract extension. Really went straight from strength through the campaign. One thing I'd like to change from is when he used to run out with 15 yards to head the ball away. So no, but I had a bit of a shock, obviously. Calum's just wanted to bring in his own kind guys, and Danny's moved on. So yeah, good luck to him. And that's just I don't think there's anybody that can say that he wasn't welcome at Cowdenbeath. He was certainly a kind of a popular player for us.
Does the 18-year-old goalkeeper give you a bit of the fear, though?
I don't know. That's is that is it. But I think there's a bit of a balance in that needs to happen. That says Ken, there is a if you're good enough play. That says to also Danny Farrell wasn't much older. I think only 22 when he came in, 21, 22 when he
Yeah,
came into
twenty-two
us.
when
I
he came
think
in,
he's
yeah.
so it's not exactly like he's Kenny. We're losing a kind of 29-year-old kind of veteran shot stopper. That says we've lost a good young goalkeeper. We've got a highly rated young goalkeeper on loan, and for all intents and purposes, it looks like a kind of a young kind of a good young prospect as well to give him a kind of bit of a competition there. And that's just personally, I'd like to have seen Danny stay on just because we knew what we were getting with Danny. But if Hepburn's coming and looking like he's going to be the number one choice, I don't blame Danny with wanting to try his luck elsewhere to get a full time first team football. Sorry.
What do you think his level would be? What kind of team would he walk into immediately, in your opinion?
I reckon there's no team in the Lone League that he could do a job for. That's his. I wouldn't be surprised if he was to find himself back in the West of Scotland league, though. And that's just because of the kind of bit more financial clout, can we say a bigger profile of the team as well on the whole. But I wouldn't be shocked to see him can walk into any Lone League team.
Is there anything else you want to discuss while we're on here and talking through the pre-season?
I just can also just. Good preparation, it seems. Teams done well from what I see, and teams doing well community wise. I don't know if you've seen that they've got I think it's six season tickets that they're going to use for donations just to get people that can't afford to get into the football to games. I think that's fantastic. That was between the Junction Club and the Cowden and the community. So, okay, brilliant on the guys for okay, organising that, and also the on Monday I think it's the team photo they've asked for. Okay, everybody that's got a season ticket, everybody that's a shareholder, that kind of idea, anybody just to come and be part of it. So it's brilliant to see that it is okay, becoming a game okay, fan centric again. It's certainly a community club again.
Is that maybe what you've taken the most joy out of since the team's been relegated from the SPFL, that it seems to be more base itself in the community and more integrated and trying to win people back to the club?
There was a lot of good things going on. Certainly, a lot of good things going on, but it gets pushed into the side when the team's struggling on the pitch, and Don't get me wrong. I mean, it wasn't exactly kind of smelling the roses last season a lot of the time, but I think the emphasis shifted from surviving to really trying to rebuild, and part of that rebuilding is reconnecting tenfold with the community. Talked about it earlier last season with the Junction Club becoming more prominent again. It was fantastic what they've done. Came throughout the season. Their Player of the Year awards hosting that was fantastic. I enjoyed it from what I can remember. Ended up having to get dragged in the road by my wife. But everything that people are doing right now is great, and I think you just see it that everybody's really kind of trying their hardest to build Cowdenbeath as a football club and rebuild the brand within the community.
And as I see the tweet earlier on the day there, when the sun shines, taking our potential podcast name there. Is that what announcement is that going to be made at 5 o'clock? Do you know? Is it
I think it's the
we
Way
can
Top, I believe. That's it. So I think it is the Way Kit. So hopefully it's yellow. I do love a yellow away kit for Cowdenbeath, and that's I'd assume it is going to be seen as the sun's the yellow, isn't it? So
when the sun
hopefully
shines.
that's when the sun shines, and that's just wait for it to be some sort of
Green.
like mud green by this is monstrosity. No,
I think this I think
I think
the gold suit the gold and the yellow suits the Cowdenbeath away kit. My favourite Cowdenbeath kit of recent years was that black one that you had that had the touches of yellow on it as well.
yes, the chrome one was fantastic. I think that's been my favourite kit of kind of my life and that. But it's I think even the kind of teases that the club's been doing this season, also have taken a lot of help from Conor Ferguson with his time at the club. But I think that's improved tenfold. The kind of the graphics between players being signed, the when we kind of teased Jack Duncan signing with him wearing the kit but his face blurred out, just things like that. It just brings a bit kind of excitement to a weekend to a week, and I think that's half the battle at the time, because none goes on during pre-season apart from the odd friendly. So I think the club's done fantastically to just get the ball rolling there.
Oh, I think you're quite right there. And obviously, shout out to your boys from the Coalface series that have been run throughout the pre-season. Like you said, there's not much going on. You've been keeping that going, and you've just recorded an episode recently.
I got Stephen Harley on that. So, yeah, so this one he's I think I've got two or three folk I need to chase up for still on that. So is it just you get that busy yourself, and I'm terrible for forgetting things. I said to a boy I was going to give him a phone as well. I forgot about that, so I'll try and give him a phone on the.
Got a shout
On
out on the
the
podcast so
tomorrow.
you
Oh no,
remember.
okay, no, so Daryl, if you're listening, sorry, I completely forgot last weekend to give you a phone call. I'll give you a phone call this weekend if I remember. But no, I just want to say thank you to everybody that's obviously jumped on so far. It's been a kind of privilege and a pleasure just to listen to you. And I think it's certainly resonating with people on the listens. So I had a wee gander earlier at the analytics of it all, and it kind of it's reading quite good for us. So I think we reached 100 followers as well on Twitter. So I think as a kind of small provincial team, that's fantastic for a especially for just an excuse to go drinking in my summer house.
No, absolutely. It's took off quite quickly. And like you said, you've done fantastic work with that pre-season series there. I'm just here to really helm the ship and give you an excuse to talk about Cowdenbeath, of course. But obviously, like you said about the analytics there, like the numbers have been quite incredible, the amount of listens that we are getting for what essentially is, like you said, two jobbers looking for an excuse to do something with some of their free time. So yeah, I mean, thank you all for listening. I think hopefully we'll have a new show just after the League Cup, just before the Celtic B game that kicks off the lower league season. Probably get a bit more detail into transfers. This will just be a kind of a brief one because we're obviously we don't want to delve into transfers too much when there's still quite a lot of the window still to go. But I think that would be more a comprehensive kind of look into into the season ahead and see where Cambeath are going to go. So hopefully you'll all stick around if you've enjoyed this episode and to listen to the next episode, and of course catch Aaron's Voices from the Coalface series. But yeah, thanks for listening. Got any final thoughts, Aaron, before we bow out here?
Yeah, no, just also thank you for listening, and it's also just getting any feedback, say always welcome and that, like, so
No,
thank you.
not any feedback. Good feedback. We don't want
This is
the
a
shy
that's is
feedback.
it so that's is we're completely whitewashing history. This is a Stalinist way, and that's just ear brushing people at photography, you know, like that.
But no, yeah, like I said, thanks for your time again, Adam.
I know, thanks, mate. Thank you.
Thank you all for listening.